In this podcast, I want to take a few minutes to talk about console controls on spaceships. It's been really fun and interesting for anyone that's interested in spaceship navigation. They get really interesting right away as soon as we find out that we have spaceships that can go anywhere. When we're thinking about normal spaceships that can we have on the Earth today, that would be like a rocket or something, then we hope that they don't explode, we don't die. And if we did want to go on them, then we'd hope that we could afford it because they're expensive to do consumer purchases or whatever you'd call it on the Earth. So if we're going to talk about a spaceship that can really travel, like haul ass, then like not an Earth spaceship today, but one that we might have in the future, then the console controls get really interesting to talk about. When I travel in the future, a lot of the people I talk to are very interested in knowing more about the console controls of the spaceships because they're very interested in working on a spaceship. And it's unbelievable how many people are very interested in this. You'd be surprised. From any profession, any walk of life, they think of working on a spaceship as a crew member or maybe having their own private transportation company. Once they start to realize that with a spaceship, it's basically like a car or a truck that can go fast safely. They start to realize they can do anything. I mean, if you wanted to go across town back and forth hauling cargo, a truck might take all day to get there and back. But if you're doing a spaceship, you're there in 10 seconds. And there's, you know, takeoff and landing. But other than that, I mean, it's a piece of cake, a spaceship. So the thought of having our own spaceship, a lot of people, that inspires them to entrepreneurialism. They're interested in having their own business. Other people, when they get on a spaceship, they're interested in travel. Some people are interested in space tourism, maybe being a travel guide or a tour guide, having a spaceship, taking people to different places for fun and interest. Other people are interested in just in like a commercial airline pilot, taking people places like a public bus. That's something that happens when people have access to reliable, safe, high-speed spaceships that are built to do it over and over again, and they're made for families. They're not made for astronauts, for the government, for the military, or something like that. They're made for families, which means they work perfectly. So that's really interesting to me, and I spent a lot of time in the last 4 months thinking about consoles for spaceships. That's where we press buttons to make the spaceship do things. So when we have a spaceship, the console is an interface that allows us to access commands for the spaceship. That's what people call it. Commands. I don't call it that, but it does functions. And so we push a bunch of buttons and it goes forward. We push a bunch of buttons and that's the communication system. We push a bunch of buttons and it shows us the ship systems. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. The Star Trek way, where we push various buttons that are basically like a map of the different components on the spaceship, that way works, but you gotta really know the spaceship. I mean, you're gonna have to go to university for 5 years before you can even begin working on a spaceship, and then you're really a beginner. It takes a lot of experience to really get the hang of that station. So, in the future, there's a lot of training available that's on the spaceship. It's made so anyone can go on there, and then there's a holographic computer program that talks to you, and you can learn the spaceship console right there. But there's other kinds of interfaces. A lot of them are made so only the crew can use the spaceship. That's important because if it's very confusing technology, no one can steal your spaceship because it's too confusing. You don't even need a password on your spaceship. You just flip a switch that they don't know how it works, and then the spaceship doesn't move. Now they can't steal it. But what I'm thinking about is something else. Lately, I've been designing spaceships that are designed to find things to do. So if we get on a spaceship that helps us to find oceans, beaches for swimming, or forests for hiking, or fun family events, or places for music, places to hang out with families, maybe restaurants or something, maybe parks. A spaceship that's designed to do this is still somewhat different or very different than a Star Trek spaceship. It's very different because a Star Trek spaceship might tell you the composition of a star, how much copper, how much manganese, how much iron is in the star, what it's made of. Also, a Star Trek spaceship might tell you things like how far away it is in miles and light years, all these different measures. Another thing that's different is it might tell you statistical data, but the spaceship I'm designing, the interface tells you things like, are there fun things for families? Are there beaches where there's a lot of people? Maybe you want to go to a beach where there's a lot of people because you feel like it's more safe, more fun. Maybe it's people you know. Or you want to go to a beach that's big and no one's there. And so this spaceship can help you find it. So different consoles, different interfaces can help us do things on a spaceship that we'll really enjoy. So the new interface I'm working on has completely different design. It's designed to be piloted by one person. Crewed by one person, so you're the whole crew. So it's got a propulsion system that you don't need to do maintenance on ever. If you get a red flag, you can just take your spaceship in and get it fixed or whatever. But typically, it'll go a million years or something without repairs. That's the new model I'm working on. So these are end of eternity technology spaceships. They're end of eternity technology. This technology is from the end of eternity. So you'd have to know when eternity is in order to know about that technology. And so eventually you will. But today I'll just talk about it. So when we got on the spaceship, when we walk on, I can show you how to find the front of the spaceship. That's where we sit when we do the piloting. And the first thing we look at is just where we are. We have a windshield, we have a room, and there's a big panel of controls, computer buttons to control the spaceship. Over to the left, that's all your options. So you can press it and it's got things like internal sensors, star scans, things like that. But what you go for first typically is your navigation button. So you push it, it's a big panel on the left side, you push it. Now you're on a big table that's shaped like a half circle. So over to the far left, you go to navigation, and now you got like 10 computer screens in front of you. And so you can look at all these screens. You can navigate by looking at a 3D holographic interface of the stars and planets around you. Or you can look at the whole universe. I mean, you can look at whatever is available. Then another way to navigate is to look at names of planets, names of stars. Maybe you just want to type it in and then go to that one and add it to the list of places you want to go. Another way to look is if there's events or interesting things. So you could go there. So panel three, you have all these computer screens. Computer screen three, you go there and you search ocean or swimming. And then you can pull up places that are recommended nearby that you can access with a spaceship. You might be interested in music, events for families, places to go shopping. Maybe you're looking for open land on a nearby planet so you can build a house or start a farm or open a business. Maybe you're looking for a big city that has land nearby that you can own and start a business so you can have a successful business that gets you lots of money. So this spaceship can find all those things. So you just type it in or something and then it just shows results and you can browse planets. So when you select a planet, maybe you just touch screen and it shows it. We looked at three computer screens. Now one above that shows an infographic about that planet. It shows a 3D view of the planet and it shows like the oceans, the forests. It's just the planet if you were up above looking at it from space. And then it shows the temperature, what the weather's like, are there big cities, just kind of general information. Is there a lot of people there? Is this an uninhabited planet? Does it have a breathable atmosphere? Things like that. And so you can just find all the information and then you know a lot more, and then you can go deeper. If you push some buttons on that screen, then you can go deeper. You can find out very specific information. How many cities are there? How many towns are there? How many people live there? You can find out that information. In the future, there's no racism. There's no slavery. There's no wars. So a lot of this information, people don't mind sharing. They're like, oh yeah, let people know. Wait, there's a lot of people here. Maybe they want to come and visit. They like visitors in the future because in order to get to certain places, you have to be a peaceful, nonviolent person. So if you're in the places where there's lots of spaceships, you're probably peaceful, nonviolent. And this information is just available. Murderers cannot access this information in the future. I'll tell you how later. So we're browsing this interface and we find planets we like. This one's got lots of meadows with flowers or lots of land to purchase or to own, I'll say. Land to own, not to purchase, just to own. You can own it because no one owns it. There's so much land in the future, you can just own land. You don't even have to buy it. And then maybe there's a town with a house you want to own. You can just go there and they say, oh yeah, that's the house anyone can have. And if you qualify, if you're a peaceful, nonviolent person, maybe they'll just give it to you free. And then you can live in that town. Now you got a house that you want. And so maybe you look for those kinds of things. Maybe you're looking for a place that has lots of spaceship landing pads. You want these if your spaceship's big, especially because you need a flat place. Otherwise, if you land on a mountain, it's going to kind of teeter off. Maybe it's hard to park it. Or if you land where there's a forest, it's smashing trees. or if you land near a city, you can't land there. There's people. So you got to go outside the city and you want a place to land the spaceship. So it's important to, if you want to do a lot of space travel, there's a place to put it. When people do a lot of space travel, they like small spaceships that they can park in their driveway like a car, but it's small, man. That's way too small. So a normal size spaceship is about the size of a house or bigger. If it's the size of a house, at least about 1,000 square feet, 900, then it can kind of do it. It can do the spaceship stuff. You need room to store a couple things on your spaceship. You need computer displays. You might need a propulsion system. You need to be able to pilot the spaceship. You'll need controls for that, a window in the front, a place to sit. Pretty soon your spaceship, you're using the space. So a small spaceship might be about the size of a house. That's very important because everything else is a shuttle, a space shuttle. And there's just seating like a car. And those are still bigger than a car because you need to be able to walk on those. So I might do a podcast on that in the future. So this display, you've selected these planets and now you found some you want to go to. And you just, when you find one you want to go to, you just click add to navigation. You search for some other ones, you find one, add to navigation. And eventually you go to screen number 4. Screen number 4 or 5, now you're looking at a list of planets that you like, and they're just a long list. And so what you can do is click go to nearest planet, and then you'll go to one of the planets on your list, or you go to the next one in your list, and then the spaceship will automatically calculate all of the piloting data and it sends it to the piloting chair. So you're in this chair, it swivels, it pivots. So you look to the left, then you look at all the other screens. Now you look straight ahead and it says this is where you want to go, and you can see the planet right in front of you on your computer screen, how far away it is, how long it takes to get there, recommended speed, method of travel, and everything. And you just click, yes, I'd like to go. It's double confirmation. You don't suddenly go on accident. You have to click it twice. Then it says, are you ready now? You click yes, and off the spaceship goes, automatic piloting. And so then you arrive at the edge of the atmosphere, and then if you want, it'll even pilot down to the place on the ground. So you go back to your navigation screen, number 4, and now you're looking at your planet, and you kind of zoom in. You say, well, I'm looking for some landing pads. And then you can just tell the spaceship to go land near a city, and it'll find the nearest available place to land, maybe a meadow or a field, maybe a landing pad, maybe a parking lot, maybe a dry, like a dirt road or a desert area. Then you land your spaceship, you get out, and then you go to the city. Now, another reason spaceships are big is because you might want to have a car. When you get in a spaceship, they're typically the size of a house. And so it's not common for anyone to have a spaceship that can land in a city. That's just a very small spaceship. That would be a space shuttle. But a spaceship is at least the size of a house typically. So you can think of the Millennium Falcon and Star Wars or a lot of other spaceships. I mean, it's got a couple of rooms and now it's as big as a house. It happens fast. So you get in your spaceship, and then you might get on a four-wheeler. If you have a small spaceship that's the size of a house, the only thing you can fit in it probably is a four-wheeler or a motorcycle. Then if you have a bigger spaceship, you can fit a car or a truck. It gets pretty big. Now you're almost as big as a house and a half, two houses. So spaceships get real big real fast. And so then you get out, you get in your car, you find a road, you drive it down there, and now you need a car that can drive in the dirt, because spaceship landing pads are really big and expensive to build. So what you do is you get out of your spaceship, you parked it in the dirt, the desert, a meadow or something. You need a car that can drive in the dirt and not sink down in the mud. So then you're going to need like a hover car. And so there are flying cars in the future, hover cars and all that, that where they work. And so you get out, you go down, you go across the meadow, you get on the road, you go to the town, you can go visit people and check it out. And then you can go shopping or whatever you want it to do. You might want one for your family. And then if you have a spaceship that has beds, now it's an even bigger spaceship. So pretty soon the spaceship's as big as a couple houses, 1, 2, or 3. Unless you have really tiny sleeping areas, and then maybe it's the size of a house. So it's just like a room with a couple beds, and then that's it. And then you have one more room with a couple beds, and now your spaceship is filled. It's got computers, it's got a piloting area, a place for a car, it's got a couple beds, and now it's hard to make it the size of a house if you do it like that. It's really, really hard. You don't even have a kitchen. I mean, do you have room for a bathroom? So that's how spaceships get big. And then going back to the controls, in order to have a spaceship that does this, it needs a computer system that can calculate all that. And so I'm designing this spaceship, and I've been doing some testing with it in another galaxy. And the reason is pretty weird. I'll talk about that in a future podcast. But I want to bring it here to the Earth here in a couple of years or sooner. And the reason is it would be extremely fun. It's just for fun. People would really like to see it. So when I finish it, that's one of the spaceships I want to bring here first for me. That's my spaceship. And a lot of the other spaceships are for other people because of different reasons. So When I work on this interface, I want it to be kind of a choose where you want to go kind of interface. Now, when you're traveling, you might want to push the communications button. You press communications, and now you can figure out who to talk to. So you can do this whole spaceship by yourself. And so one way to do it is to do it like modern tablet apps or smartphone apps. You just push some buttons and it does some functions and it has displays and it works great. Another way is to do it with buttons, switches, levers. Those kind of spaceships are more complicated and they can usually do more complicated things. So a spaceship that's made for families isn't going to have weapons. It's not going to have tractor beams. It's not going to have anything dangerous. If you have a spaceship made for families and you start tractoring things, pretty soon you might forget to turn it off, or a kid turns it on and then it starts grabbing things. That could be a big disaster. Like if you're flying around a town and then a kid's pushing buttons and a tractor beam turns on, then you're lifting someone's house in the air. It's really dangerous with technology. So most of my spaceships do not have any of those things. There's nothing in the future. We don't have to tractor beam things that often. It's not that important because everything's where we want it already. But people want those things in the future. So that's when we get to be a trained pilot. So a quick way to learn this is to use different computer interfaces on spaceships. So I thought I'd take a minute just to talk about it. I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. And I look forward to bringing these to the Earth someday, just because I think it'll be a fun thing. But I'm not overly in a rush. These are already in other places in this universe and other universes. And in the future, there's a bunch of them. And as soon as I can bring them here, I'd like to bring at least a couple. I'll talk about that in future podcasts.